Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachas Tzadi Hei. We are seven lines off the top of the Amid. Iboilu, we begin with an interesting question. Lechem Apanim, which was stacked on the Shulchan, Nifsal B'Masa'ois, what happened when they were traveling in the Midbar? They dismantled the Mishkan. The Lechem on the Shulchan was no longer contained within the confines of the Mechitzes, within the partitions, which generated the Kedushas HaMishkan. They were just being carried by the Levim, right? The Mishkan was dismantled and carried, and so were the breads on the Shulchan. What happens to them? So while they're in the Mishkan, while they're contained, of course they're Kaddish, but we know that when something leaves the Mishkan, it becomes Pasul. It's called Pasul B'Yoytze. It left the confines. So here, although it wasn't technically taken out of the containment, but the containment was dismantled. So in effect, it was out of its containment. What's the status of the breads? Ibailu, lechem upon him. Nifsal b'masoi, did it become pasul while traveling? Or shall we say, no. They still retain their kedusha, they still retain their status. They don't become pasul b'yotze. We have machlekes. And actually, ultimately, the conclusion is going to be that it really depends. If it's sitting on the Shulchan itself, it's safe and sound, but if it was removed, then it gets affected by the change of look. We'll get to that later. But at this point, the Gemara is figuring that whether it's on the actual Shulchan or whether it's off the Shulchan, we'll have a machlokes. What happens when it's during travel time, when it's en route and there is no Mishkan surrounding the Shulchan? Rabbi Yochanan had a machlokes with Rabbi Shimon Levi. Chad Amar, one says, Nifsal. The breads become pasul. Chad Amar, no, ain't Nifsal. What is the machlokes based on? Based on Psukim. Man Amar Nifsal, the one that says that it becomes pasul. The pasuk says, Kasher Yachnu. Yachnu was when they were encamped, when they were in a resting position, when they were stationary. Can you sew? So they travel, which means to say we compare the two circumstances. Ma b'chaniyos Nifsal b'yeh, just like when they were in a chanoya state when they were camped. Should one take the bread out of the Mishkan and becomes pasul because it was removed from its confinement? Also, if so, it's likewise when they're traveling, no difference. If it's yotze, it's yotze. Mando amar in nifsal, the one who disagrees says no. The lechem is still kosher. Look at the pasuk. The lechem atomid olav yiyah, which teaches us that it's a constant. Lechem atomid. Whether they're sitting or moving, it's still halig, it's still kaddish, it doesn't lose its status. Nope. Now, what does this opinion do with the other pasuk? Oksiv akasher yachnu, can you sew? We compare traveling to the resting state, which would indicate that it does get affected by yotze. Lidach kisa, just the opposite, the other way around. In a positive sense, he says, "Ma b'chaniyos." Just when they were chayne, when they were resting, kiloyatzim kamelim nifsal, was not taken out of the area. The bread is still kosher. After misyosa, likewise, when they were traveling, kiloyatzim kamelim nifsal, wasn't taken out from its confines. It doesn't become possible. What does that mean? Farshim explain that as long as it stayed within the machne levia, you see, there were three sort of territories. There was the Machne Shechina, which was the actual Mishkan, surrounded by the Levim. Their camp, so to speak, their encampment, was called Machne Leviyah, the Leviyah domain, which was a notch lower in Kedusha. And then comes Machne Yisrael, which was the outer circle where the rest of the nation would camp. That was the third level. And by the way, we know that we meant to send out people that are tumid from these areas, and it all depends on the level of tumah. That's where the person sent out. So if he's the highest matzora, He goes beyond all three circles. He goes beyond the entire machne. That's called 1, 2, and 3, right? Mishkan is 1, Levi is 2, and Israel is 3. So the Yitzhar was sent out of all three. A Zav, he can stay in 3. A Taimes, he has to leave 1, he can stay in 2. So in any case, since the Levim were now charged with transporting the dismantled Mishkan and the Kelim, their Machne, you know, while they're traveling where they are, their area still has somewhat of a status of Machna Leviya, and since that's where the Mishkan was at that point, that's the territory, that's its domain, and the Lechem, which is still there, is okay. There's no Psul Yotze. That's his opinion. So the Malkim sort of changes. Up until then, the Lechem was meant to be on the Shulchan and the Mishkan. Now there's no Mishkan, so it's meant to be together with the dismantled Mishkan, being transported by Levim. As long as it's within that territory, it's good. Now the other opinion, who disagrees, what's he going to do with this pasuk, Lechem HaTamid, which indicates that it's constant and it's constantly safe? Elo says the Gemara, you're right. We have a different way to understand the machlokes. Kasser Rav Dimi, when he came, Omei explained, v'mesudar, if the bread is still positioned on the shulchan, it's en route, but the bread is still stacked on the shulchan in its place. It's in its, environment, so to speak. The kuli am or the pligi, all agree. There's no machlokes. Lechem atomid all of year. If it's on it, it's safe. The question is if it was removed. Okay, so it was Shabbos, they had removed the bread, and now suddenly they're traveling. Now the Mefarshim ask, how are they traveling on Shabbos? It involves carrying, and so they learn, some learn that the Shittim Kabetzis learns. I'll give you an example, I'll give you a case where it's possible that they have bread removed from the Shulchan. And it's not even Shabbos. He says, let's say Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so you can't eat the bread until nighttime, Matzah Shabbos. So now it's Matzah Shabbos. The bread is still active. It's still kosher. It's not yet lina. Lina means if it would have stayed overnight, it would be possible. It's still fresh, so to speak. It's still the night of. But it's off the Shulchan, and it's after Shabbos. So they're traveling, and what happens now? Manda Omar Nifsal, so the one that says it's pasul because it was taken out, it's en route. Tachsiv Kashir Yachon, can you sew? Because of that pasul that compares the travel to the encampment. Ma b'chanoyos nifsal b'yotze, just like yotze affects an item during the chanoya, after nisiyos muslim b'yotze, likewise, the yotze affects an item even during travel. That's one way to look at it. Okay, the fact is there's no... There's no confinement, there's no mechitzos, right? It's yaitz. On the other hand, you have l'man da'oma in an episode, the one that says that it's unaffected by travel. And the puzzle continues. The oil mayed is the actual mishkan which had been dismantled, which is now being transported. And the puzzle continues, machn halavim secha machnes, which indicates that the oil mayed has now sort of been transplanted to where the levim are. They're charged with taking care of the oil mayed. And their machna, even though it's en route, their machna is considered the oil moed domain. In which case, as long as you're there, the breads are there, it's kosher. Ava b'shenos, even though it's en route, oil moed, it still retains its oil moed status. And likewise, the kosherness of the breads. V'idachnam yoksiv kasher yachna kaniso. Now what does he do with the other pasuk, which indicates otherwise? L'idachisa, he learns it just the opposite, in a positive way. Just like in the state of Chanoya when they were stationary, if you do not take the breads out of the area, out of the mechitzas, it does not become possible up in the yos. Likewise when they're traveling, even though technically there are no mechitzas surrounding you, as long as you don't take it out of the Levia area, it does not become possible. Now what does the other sheet to do with this pasuk of tells you that even if it's traveling, it still retains its oil-made status. The bread is still in its habitat. No, it's not coming to teach about the kashrus of the material. Rather, it's just coming to instruct, to give directions in terms of how to configure the travels. Ahul dgolim udu asa. It's coming to teach us how the dgolim were set up. So there was a very exact, very precise sequence in terms of how they traveled. So first there were two groups. The Golem are the flags. So they had basically four groups. There was Degel Yehuda and Degel, right? So first two groups started traveling, followed by the Levim carrying the Oil Moed, and they were followed by two more groups behind them. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that the Oil Moed should be carried with the Levim, B'secha Machnas, in between, sandwiched between two in the front and two in the back. Okay, so it's in terms of configuration unrelated to our discussion, V'idach, and the opposing Shita says, well, the point of configuration, that's learned from M'machna Levim, B'secha Machnas, Nafka, that's learned from the next part of the Pasuk, Nafka, right? That's from there, where we learn the configuration. But the first expression in the Pasuk of Nasa Oil Moed is telling us that that the Oil Moed still retains its Kedusha, its status, even while en route. Okay, so bottom line is, at this stage in the Gemara, regarding the status of the Lechem Aponim while en route, so if it's still sitting on the Shulchan, we have a Pasuk, V'lechem HaTomit, all of year, that while it's still on the shulchan, it's safe and sound, whereas if it's been removed from the shulchan, we have a machlekes. And some say it's pasul, and others say, one says it's kasha. Here comes a kasha, meisri, here comes a kasha. On the opinion that holds that it's still going to be kasha. We have a brayso in it, which tells us otherwise. Meisri, v'shasilik masois. Okay, so when they were, traveling, so they remove the machitzes and the curtains and all that. Kachim nifsalim b'yaitze. There you go. So you have, let's say, a chatos material, which is meant to be eaten inside the confinement of the mishkan, becomes puzzle. Why nifsalim b'yaitze? It's been taken out, even though it's not been taken out, but the confinement is gone. So now it's by default outside; it's uncontained. So right off the bat, we see that kachem become possible. We assume the same with lechem aponim. We'll get that in a minute. But first, let's finish the brayso. V'zavenu mitzayroin mishtalchen chusnam chitzasam. Now, despite the fact that the Mishkan has now been dismantled, so you can sort of argue that territory 1, we call that 1, 2, and 3, Mishkan was 1, Levi was 2, and Yisrael was 2, is no longer in existence. Nevertheless, The Zav cannot be in Area 2. The Metzora cannot stay in Area 3. So each one has to be sent, beyond the Zav and the Metzora and Mishtalch and Chus. They have to be sent out of the Mechitzasen, outside of the Mechitza, where they're not meant to be. So they're meant to be sent to their appropriate, areas. Again, this is despite the fact that Area 1 has now been dismantled. But it does not affect what happens in the rest of the areas. So even though you can't really, observe Area 1 properly, a tummy mace cannot be in Area 1, he's been sent to Area 2. So that's sort of not applicable now, but the rest of the system still still active, still applicable. Okay. In any case, we see that chatos material becomes possible because there are no machites. It's yaitze. My love, I feel lechem apon. We're assuming the same exact fate would apply to the lechem apon. Lai, bar me lechem apon. No, lechem apon is an exception. Manushach, well, why? Why would you say that? If you need the actual, physical, literal oil may to be erected, dafkuhu, afilu kachim nami? Sorry, if the pasuk that we had before, v'nasa oil mayed, which we learned as teaching us that even when the oil mayed is traveling, is en route, is no longer assembled, it still retains its status. I feel kachim nami, so the same protection should be given to karbanos. You have chatos material, fine, but as long as it's within the area of the Levim, it's safe. Now, if you're going to dispute that interpretation, rather the pasuk simply, you know, giving us the configuration of the way they travel, but not instructing anything regarding the status and the kedush. So that should affect even lechem aponim. There's no mishkan, there's no kedusha. It's uncontained, unconfined, possibly yet. Ella, here comes a third understanding of the machlekes, and this is going to be the maskon. Elkios Ravin, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he elaborated like this. Amar, he says, actually, you thought there was a machlekes? No, each one is simply speaking about a different circumstance. One is speaking where the bread is on the table, and that's based on the pasuk v'lechem ha'atomid. It's a constant bread on the table; it's safe and sound, despite the fact that it's being carried around. The other shita was speaking that it's removed; it's off the table. It's off the table. In that case, it's affected by its uncontainment. Elik Yosef Rav and Amar, he says Mar Amar b'Mesuder, the one that said that the bread is safe, that's when it's still stacked on the table. Umar Amar b'Mesulak, the one that spoke about the bread becoming puzzle because it's being transported, that's because it's off the table. V'lo Pligi, there was never a machlekes to begin with. Amar Abaye, here comes Abaye with another anecdotal insight. He says, Shmami, no, we can learn from here. Yeshiluk Masoras Belayla, they would even travel. Klal Yisrael in the middle would travel at night. Why? Otherwise, this whole discussion wouldn't really start. Because if you suggest that there's no traveling at night, right? They wouldn't, dismantle and get moving at night. Amos Madli. So when would they, remove the curtains? When would they dismantle? It's Safra, only in the morning, right? So the whole thing is not really an issue, meaning because the lechem aponim, or the, talking about the, the chatos material, let's say, right, would have become pasul anyways, because we know that kachim material, which stays overnight, is pasul through lina. So in any case, it's not an issue. Ma yirim shim yaitze, why come on to the psul of yaitze to disqualify it? Typically the ifsile belina. There's a much more simple disqualification aspect, that's lina. Because the next morning, apparently it's not the next morning, it's still nighttime, when the chatas is still current. It can be eaten for that day and the following night, right? So it's still current in terms of lina, it's unaffected by lina, and therefore the brisa has to come onto the psul of yaitze to disqualify. Pshita, well obviously, the pasuk says they travel at night. Lechos yomim v'lailah said it says they travel day and night. Maldatim, perhaps I would understand the pasuk to mean that's only when they uprooted, when they sort of initiated the trip during daytime, so they keep on traveling even during nighttime. Let's say they didn't leave during daytime, so to start a trip at night, perhaps that never happened. But the point of the Bryce is to indicate that it by his point is to prove from the Bryce that they actually would start even a trip at night, which was a great challenge. Right? Imagine they're bedding down, everyone's in pajamas. Rabban explains it was part of the Nisayan to see the to express the loyalty and commitment to Hashem, follow Him in all circumstances, in all situations. Be'eretz, right? Lo yizeruah, zachati lo chesed, no raich, lechtech, achar, amidbar, right? Kamashmon. Ramini, now comes a question. On the second part of this, the Brisa discussed the fact that we would send away the Tmeim. So again, even though there was no Mishkan active at that point, so the Tmeim mace, the one that touched the mace, would not be affected because typically they leave Area 1, which was no longer active at this point, but the Zav, who's meant to stay out of Area 2, and the Mitzur, which meant to stay out of Area 3, they would be sent to where they belong. Ramini, we have a Kashif and a Brisa, which indicates that, look, once Area 1 was deactivated, it sort of had ripple effect, and the whole pyramid, the whole chain sort of dissipated, right? And we no longer would be concerned about Tzmeim in the area. Sort of all or nothing. If the system is in, fine. If it's deactivated on the top, the whole thing sort of, falls apart. Brahmini, Huglalu ha-parechas. Once the parechas, the curtains were removed, and the mishkan was the hutra azavim umitzara in the kanas l'shan. So even azav umitzara can enter the area. And that's in contradiction to the Braita, which says, no, we kept them away. Rav Ashi l'kasha does machlekes tanoim. According to Rav Elazar, once the top of the pyramid falls apart, the whole thing collapses. According to the Rabbanan, the rest is still fully active. Like Kash Harab Lazar Harabon. The Sana, where do we find this discussion? Rav Lazar Omer. So we find Rav Lazar being lenient in this regard in a different discussion. This is in Maseches Pesachim. We know that when the tzibur was tamei meis, they touched the meis or whatever, they can actually proceed with bringing a Karban Pesach. It's called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, Tuma is Mutter in a tzibur setting, or Duchuya, it's overridden. In any case, this heter is specific to Tumas Meis. The Tzibur attended a funeral and their Tumme, so they can bring a Pesach with Tumah. What about a person's Tumme for a different reason altogether? He's a Zav, personal Tumah, Metzoyre, Gatzaras. So if that would have been the issue, then it wouldn't allow them to bring the Pesach Batumah. But now let's say the fellow who's a Zav entered the Mishkan in a year where everybody was Tamei Meis, which gave them the green light to do the Pesach, but he's a Zav, he doesn't really belong there, if he entered. Rav Elazar Omer, it's not as bad as a regular year. Typically, if one enters, he gets a Kareis, but in this case, in this year, since in any case, there's sort of a green light for Tumah in general, Tamei Meis can enter Area 1, so the other aspects of this delineation, of this categorization of the territories and the barring of entry to the other Tumim are also sort of mitigated to a certain extent because it has a ripple effect and the whole pyramid is sort of, you know, been partially dismantled and it has a mitigating effect on the whole system. That's Rav Elazar's opinion there. And the Gemara draws a parallel to our case as well. In the Mishkan, in the Midbar, since the Mishkan was dismantled, the whole system sort of collapses regarding sending away any Tomei. Okay, that's the parallel between our discussion and that halacha of the Karban Pesach. Perhaps if a Zava Metzera forced his way in to the Beis HaMikdash, he shouldn't, but let's say he's there. B'nichas la'azara, he entered the Azara in a year, in a time where, in any case, everybody was Tomei, a different type of Tumah, Tumas Meis. The Pesach Baba Tumah, perhaps they're liable to the same consequence as in ordinary times. No, the pasuk sort of ties it all together. When one, you know, link in the chain weakens, the whole thing sort of gets weak. And send away from the machne, any person with tzaras, a person with ziva, likewise, a person who touched a maze. So the Tumei Meis is meant to be out of Area 1, the Zav out of Area 2, and the Tzor out of all three areas. But they're sort of linked together. B'shosha Tumei Meis and Mishtachan, in an ordinary year where the Tumei Meis must be sent away from the Azara. So, the whole system is active. Zavin, the Zav, and Tzor, and the Tzor, and Mishtachan are sent away from their respective territories as well. But ain't Tumei Meis and Mishtachan, in a year where the Tumei Meis is not sent out of the Azara. In fact, he's invited to come and process his Karban Pesach. So that has a mitigating effect on the whole system and at large. Ein zaven umitzarein mishtalchin. And first, I'm explained, it's not like they're allowed to come in, but there's no kareis. It's not as severe as a regular year. So we see that has a mitigating effect on the picture as a whole. Likewise, in the midbar when the Mishkan had been dismantled, according to Rabbi Elazar, we suspend the Isra of the Zav and the Mitzaron entering the area. But in any case, regarding the Lacham Aponim, en route, so according to the Maskona, according to our conclusion, when the bread was still on the table, Lacham Atamid Olavia, we learned that it's a constant thing. If it's on the table, it's safe and sound, even though it's en route. Whereas if it's a Mesulik that had been removed off the table, then it becomes possible to eat. Continues the Mishnah. Achash Te'al Lacham, Vachas Lacham Aponim. Now we're going to discuss where they actually, produced the Shtei Lechem for Shvois, Lechem Aponim on a weekly basis. Where was it done? In the Azara or even outside the Azara? Lishason Rechason, the mixing of the dough and the forming of the bread. Bachutz can be done outside too. It wasn't done in the Klisharis, it can be done outside, Afiyasim, Bafnim, but the baking had to take place inside. We'll see in the Gemara why. Ve'einan doiches es haShabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos because the whole point doing it on Shabbos is only if you have no alternative. Well, if the mixing and the forming, at least, certainly that was done in a kli choil, in a mundane kli, so the material had not yet been upgraded to inherent kedushat kedusha guf, which can become effective by staying overnight. So if it can be done yesterday, do it yesterday. On Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol maaseim bifnei, disagrees. He says everything was done inside from beginning to end in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, just the opposite. Everything can be done outside as well, even the baking. Loyelam aviroga leimar. You should be accustomed to saying as follows. So the Gemara learns that he had a tradition. It was sort of a phrase that he was handed down to him. It was a lesson that he learned from his rabbein, which was shtei alechem, right? Alechem aponim, kshei rois ba'azara. They're good if they're produced in the azara, zonteid, but ukshei rois beveis pagi, you can do it outside, in the furthest place, called beis pagi, the furthest place in Yerushalayim, all the way by the wall, meaning as far as you want. Hoga v'kasha, says the Gemara, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which seems a bit difficult to understand. We start Amris by saying l'shoson v'richoson b'chutz. You can mix it, form it outside. Alma, apparently midas yovashlein is kasha. The container is meant for dry materials, such as flour and all that, was not sanctified to the point that it will sanctify its content and elevate it to inherent kedusha, which will be affected by being outside, right? It becomes pasal b'yaitzeh. No, it's not pasal b'yaitzeh because it wasn't kedusha guf. But then you say, afiyasim b'fnim, bake it inside. Why? Why only inside? Alma midas yovashlein is kasha. You're saying that the oven in this case, which again is considered midas yavesh because it's meant to handle dry material, is kadosh to the point that it will be mekadosh its content, so it has to be in the azor, otherwise it's affected by yaitzei. So which way is it? Midas yavesh is niskacha or not? Omar Rabba, he said, this is a real little tough question. You know who asked this question? Hiksha Adam Kasha. This was asked by a sharp person, by a person who was extremely wise and sharp. Shu kasha ke barzla, sharp as barzla, as iron. He was sharp as can be. Who's that, Amanu? Who's that, Rav Sheshes? He got stuck on this point, and presumably it's something which is very difficult to resolve. Says the Gemara, what's so difficult? My kashi, what's the big deal? Dilma isarain lo mekadesh, tana mekadesh. You can say, well, the isarain, the flour container, which was used in preparation for mixing and all that, that wasn't Kaddish, that could be done outside, but the Tanner, the oven was. The Tanner is Mekaddish, right? So the Sarn is not Mekaddish, the content of the Tanner is. What's the big deal? Eli Kashi of Kashi, right? The question was like this. Hafiyasim Bifnim. So, you're telling me you have to bake it inside, presumably because the Tanner is Mekaddish, so it's got to be in the right area. Al matana mekadosh, right? But then you say you can do it yesterday. Well, if you do it yesterday and it's already kadosh, once it's left overnight until the next day, until Shabbos when they needed the bread, it becomes pasabalina. So how can you say bein dechas haShabbos? You can't do it on Shabbos. You must do it yesterday. If you do it yesterday and you leave it overnight, if silabalina, Amar Rava, that's a real good question. Again, hikshadim kasha, kasha b'marz, l'mada sheshes. We're stumped. Amar Bashi, what's the big deal? My kushya. Reason. When the Mishnah says you bake it inside, it doesn't mean literally. It means figuratively. You do it with Kehanim on the scene. You bake it mibifnim when there are people who belong inside, meaning the Kehanim, who are inside people in charge of the Karbanis and the Migdash, with them in attendance. So you do it outside, but mibifnim b'makom's reason. Well, you have this reason. The Kehanim were very meticulous and conscientious, and they know what's going on, and they'll supervise the baking of that. That's what it means. Make sure they're around to keep it non-chametz. But certainly the Tana was not Mekadosh, and it was outside the Azora, in which case, no problem doing it yesterday. There's no Kedusha Saguf. You can, you know, do it outside and wait for tomorrow to bring it inside. Ask the Gemara, no, that's not really going to work. Vod Rav Ashi, this sort of solution, this suggestion by Rav Ashi, Barusahi, is external, meaning it belongs outside the Beis HaMedrash. We're not going to accept it. Why? Rachmanasha. How do you explain this? Mixing, forming of the dough, that you can do privately. You don't need the kahan I'm supervising. And baking you do. I mean, if you're concerned about it turning into chametz, you should have them there from the start of the process. Manavshach, iafia be'inon's reason. If you need this reason, the kahanim there during the baking, lisha v'aricha nambina's reason. You should need them around by the lisha and aricha as well. V'lisha v'aricha labina's reason. If you don't need them around by the first phase, then by the baking, you shouldn't either need them around. Afia nami labina's reason. Elo, the Ravashi Brusi, we reject this pshat. So we sort of stick with that earlier pshat that the Isarim was not Mekadosh, but the Tana was. We had a kasha on that which we didn't really answer. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol maaseim bifnim. He says everything is done in the Azara. Rav Shimon goes the other way. Everything can be done outside. Omer v'bo bar kahana. Where are the respective sources for these respective positions? Ushneyen mikra echadoshu. Actually, they're both based on the same pasuk. This is when David HaMelech was being pursued, and he ended up in a city called Noiv, and he encountered the Kehanim there, and there was a Kohen Gadol there, Achimelech, and he found some, he saw them handling the Lechem Haponim, and he told them, listen, I'm starving. The Gemara said he had bulmos, he was just overstarved, and his life was in danger. He needed food quickly. So he asked them for some bread, and he said, "Lo, this is lechem apanim bread." He says, "Don't worry about it. I'm allowed to eat it." And we find some interesting phrases throughout this back and forth, throughout this conversation, which will shed light on our discussion in terms of the status of the lechem apanim. It says like this: "V'udarachol afka yoyim mikdash b'kli." So this was David responding. He says to the Kohen there regarding Lechem Aponim, he says, V'uderech choyl. It's something to do with choyl, not non-Kodesh. V'av ki ayoyim mikdash bekeli. Now, what was the message here? Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Rabbi Yehuda learns the pasuk like this: B'choyl ashkechinu. D'ka'afilei. So it was Friday, Erev Shabbos, B'choyl, a weekday. D'ka'afilei. So you notice that they're breaking the bread. And startlingly enough, you would think he was starved. No, he's thinking about himself. No. David HaMelech. Unbelievable. First thing on his mind is, hey, one second, let me set the record straight in terms of halacha. Make sure I do that. They're serving Hashem correctly. So he set aside his dire straits, his overly famished body, and he addressed the halacha concern that he noticed. Amrli turns to the Kohanim, Derech Choyl Kafi Sulei. So you're baking it on a weekday, a day in advance, because you only need it tomorrow, right? Baking it today, in order to spare the baking on Shabbos, right? But you can't do that. Afka Yoyim Mikdash B'Kli. But look, despite the fact that it's become Kaddish in the Kli, right? The oven is Mekaddish it. And what's going to happen now is, if Sulei Belina, the material, the bread becomes Kadosh, to the extent that it's Kedushas Aguf, and you can't leave it overnight, just to mull nowhere, becomes Pasabalina. What are you doing? You should bake it tomorrow. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Raya. Then, in fact, the Tanur is Mekadesh. From David HaMelech's response, Rabbi Shimon has a different take on this discussion. He says, no, actually, B'Shabbos HaKshechinu D'Kaofolei. He noticed that it was on Shabbos and when they're baking it. And he set the record straight. Amalu, he says, no, you shouldn't be baking it today. Don't you realize you should be baking it on a weekday? Because there's no reason not to. And if that's the case, you have no reason to bake it today on Shabbos. Midi Tanur Mekadesh. You think the Tanur is Mekadesh, the material, which would preempt you from doing it in advance because of Lina? No, Shulchan to Mekadesh, the Shulchan itself, tomorrow when you put it on the table, that's Mekadesh. So therefore, feel free to bake it Erev Shabbos. No reason to do it today on Shabbos. So here we have the respective sourcings. Rabbi Yehuda learns it one way, that the Tanur is Mekadesh. Rabbi Shimon learns it differently. He says the Tanur is not Mekadesh. And that exactly was David HaMelech's point. Says the Gemara, Mimot says, Amris de B'Shas Afiyah Shechin. How could you learn that David HaMelech encountered them when they were baking it, as you explained, Boksiv? We find in the next pasuk that actually the Kohen relented and gave him the lechem upon him, baked bread off the table. Eaten like a Kohen Kodesh. There was no other bread accessible. Kim lechem aponom, masarim fnei Hashem, except for the bread that was removed from the. So clearly, we're talking about on Shabbos when they had removed the the bread off the table, which is on Shabbos. So amaluhu. Apparently, it's got nothing to do with the baking process. Says Ella, if that's the case, my derechol to kamaluhu. So if he wasn't there during the baking, it was on Shabbos, and they were just removing it. So why was he speaking about something with chayil, with weekday, the kamerle? Actually, what happened was, the Kohanim had responded to his request for bread. They said, listen, we don't have regular bread, we only have holy bread. Hachi kamerle, lech lechem, we don't have regular bread, kiim lechem, panam, samin, Hashem, we only have the holy bread that was just taken off the table. Amalisa says, the other mouth responds, not to worry. It goes without saying that you can give me this bread, the kiim adonav me'ilah, since it lost its me'ilah status, because anything that became permissible for the kohanim to consume loses me'ilah, which means to say it's not really a diversion from the hegdish, so it doesn't have that stringency. Derech cheilhu, right? Once it becomes permissible for the kohanim's consumption, to a certain extent, it's called choil. And certainly in my situation, even though I'm not a kohen, but since my life is in danger, I can eat it. Let me tell you something more. Even the new fresh bread that you put on the shulchan now, today, which just became kodesh, fresh bread, which is still off limits, even to the kohanim, havad lechel, you can pass to me for my consumption. Why mesukanu? This man is third person, but he's talking about himself. I'm a mesukanu. My life's in danger. It's pekuach nefesh. So even that you can pass to me. So according to this new interpretation, it's unrelated to our discussion in the Mishnah. It was already on Shabbos after the fact, after the baking. So it's got nothing to do with our discussion. You're right, says the Gemara. Let's sort of shift away. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara pleads the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of location, in terms of where they bake the bread, is really not related to this pasuk as we had thought. Rather, it's Gemara pleads. Gemara means it's a question of tradition. Each one had his own understanding, his own teaching from his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda learned that it was inside. Rabbi Shimon says it was outside. The ekonami. In fact, if you take a closer look at the wording in the Mishnah, as we pointed out, we saw the Lashna Mishnah. You see that, in fact, it's a question of tradition of what they were makabel from their Rebbe. They can have the Ketan of Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, in making his point in the Mishnah, uses interesting phraseology. He says, "Loylam Mavi, Rabbi Shimon, Loylam Mavi, Rogaloyma." You should be accustomed to say, meaning this is the way he was makabel. That Shtei Alechem Lecham Apanim Ksheiris Ba'Zora Ksheiris Abis Pagi. He wasn't coming to sort of initiate or to explain or to substantiate this halacha. It was just something that he was accustomed to learning from his Rebbe, and this is the way it is. That proves this point. Okay, bottom line is location. Where was it done? So we have three shitas, according to Tanakama. The preparation was done outside with the baking inside, which we had a little bit hard time understanding. According to Rida, everything inside, according to Shimon, even outside the Beis HaMikdash was fine as long as it was inside Yerushalayim. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.